Book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. You can find that in your pew hymnal, page 163. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, and the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my heart, words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. The first candle was hope. Faith is a hope for things not yet seen. We haven't seen him come back yet, but we hope and we trust and we believe, we have faith that he will. And what's he going to do when he comes back? A new heaven, a new earth, resurrection bodies. So long as we confess with our lips and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord. Confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him up. In Romans, Paul is speaking to a church. Now, we know Romans is usually a causative. In other words, he's writing a letter to a church or a city or an area that he's started a ministry, left, heard some challenge or some problem, and he's responding to that. Well, Romans is a little different. Romans, he'd not been there. He did not found the church at Rome. There were other Christians that had gone on before him. They were followers of the way, and they went to Rome. Paul is writing to them again because sometimes we don't get it right the first time. Sometimes we may have it right, but then we start falling into the worldly way of doing things. But this is in the very last part of Romans. Romans has 16 chapters. And in the 15th chapter, he's saying, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. And then there's my favorite two words. Well, actually, my almost favorite two words. So that, and in order, and the other ones I love you, but. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. So that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might find hope. That first candle, that's our faith. That's something that you cannot touch. You cannot articulate. You have to feel it. You have to believe it. Steadfastment, by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Well, the issue in Rome was we have just as many of the churches, the early churches, the believers were very much so Jews first, for a good measure, and Gentiles coming in later on, but they were Jews first. They thought that the Jewish traditions, the Pentateuch, the laws, the dietary restrictions, circumcision, and all of those types of things that were ritually done by Jews and following the Ten Commandments were governing them. Well, Paul has said, as have others, that the dietary restrictions are no longer in place. Nor is circumcision of the flesh, which counts to make us righteousness, what? It's circumcision in our heart. It's how we believe. And I see you up there, Linda. I'm telling you, you got to go up there at some stage over this Advent and listen to the choir sing from up there. Right, Linda? He wants us to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, we're Christians. If we follow Jesus Christ, if we confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in our hearts that He was raised from the dead by God, then we're Christians. So that together you might have one, with one voice. He wants us with one voice. Just like, you know, when the choir's there and they're singing wonderfully and I'm someplace else singing something else, not so lovely, but they let me sing with them anyway. We're of one accord. Now, that doesn't mean we all sound exactly the same. Heaven forbid, Helen sounds a lot better than me. So does everybody else up there. But each voice has its own voice, but yet we sing the song together. I don't play a piano. Well, we won't even go into there, and I'm certainly not going to try an organ. There are too many keys over there. That just defies my... But we're to speak with one voice and glorify God. It's not that we sound the same, but we're saying the same thing. Because when we lift our praises to God, it's not just the words that are coming out of our mouths. It's what's coming out of our hearts. That's what Jesus knows and hears. That's what's a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's not whether or not it's tinkling brass because it doesn't have any works. Faith without works is tinkling brass. It's faith with works. We're doing things out of faith, whether it was feeding how many families? 39 families yesterday, providing food for 39 families yesterday, or however many that we've been able to feed, and how many kids came, or how many families picked up stuff from the warming tree, and you know, all of those mission opportunities that we have. That is speaking in one voice, because actions speak louder than words. How many times have we heard that? Yes, we praise God. Yes, we accept Him as Lord and Savior. Yes, we are waiting for Him to come back and take us all with Him so that we can be there in resurrection bodies. No pain, no suffering, no cancer. You hear that? No cancer. So that together we may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He brought us into existence to do, to praise and glorify God. Why? Because we're so great? No, because He is great. And He's great because what? Because of what He's done for us? Because of what He is doing for us today. Yes, He died on a cross 2,000 years ago in Christ Jesus. But He came into this world 2,027 years ago, plus or minus, as a baby boy, born in a manger, laid in a manger, born in a barn or an outbuilding. I didn't say an outhouse, an outbuilding. But in the lowest of states. And yet, the Son of God, from the lowest of the low, is where God reaches into our lives and touches us and brings us into unity with Him. so that we can all celebrate the joy. That we're going to be together celebrating joy, joy, joy. Can I hear a hallelujah chorus? Hallelujah. All right. I'll pay you later. But welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. Again, we're supposed to what? We're going to lift with one voice, glorify God, and then we're supposed to welcome others as Christ welcomed us. What? For the glory of God. We're doing these things not for our glory, not for our edification, but for the glory of God. For I tell you, Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. Jesus says, I come not into the world to usurp the law. I come to fulfill the law. Jesus' whole purpose in being here was to fulfill all of the promises that were made to all the prophets, all the children of Abraham who counted themselves children of promise, children of Abraham, children of God because they were children of promise. A promise that God made to them. A promise that God made to the children of Noah. As it is written. Now, this is a collection from Psalm 118, Deuteronomy, Psalm 117, and Isaiah 11:10. Now, these are all, this is verse 9, the second part of 9 through 12. As it is written, therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles have hope. Now, if we have hope and we have a promise and we have faith in that. Okay, look around. Look around. Look at everybody. Now, if you have faith and hope in Jesus Christ, what should you have on your face? Now, what does that smile reflect? Joy. But joy not just in a physical thing. That's muscles that lift that. But where does joy really start? In your heart. Seen a newborn baby? How many grandparents? What was your first thought when you saw that baby? The first time? Oh, I'm sure you frowned, right? Not in a New York second. Joy. We celebrate. That is what Christmas is all about. It's like celebrating. It's not the presence under the tree. It's the presence of Christ Jesus in your heart and in your life. Yeah, opening those presents is going to be cool. You turn in your list, right? They've been naughty or nice, right? It figures I'd give him a either or, and he'd pick the split. But it's not the presence with a T that are in our lives. Whether it's the ones that you wait for at Christmas or the ones you get on your birthday. The greatest present T you will receive ever is when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior and confess him and receive his presence in your heart. Because if his presence is in your heart, the world's got a lot of bad things that are going to happen. There's sickness. There's the first love that you have, and the person's going to turn you down. They're going to disappoint you. Here to tell you, girls, us guys, we're full of disappointment, I'm telling you. But even with that, if we're following God, there's going to be a fulfillment of a promise. There's going to be a fulfillment of a promise. And as that is that you and I are not limited to our human nature, because our human nature is sin. But by the Holy Spirit, by the presence of God, we can be transformed. We can be changed into something that He wants us to be, rather than being stuck what we want to be. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 is probably the most powerful piece of all of it. The promises are great. How Jesus has done this for you to fulfill promises that were made to the prophets before. But look at 13 again. May the God of hope. See, Jesus is not the God of despair. He's not the God of darkness. He's not the God of death. He's the God of light, of life, and hope. In spite of the darkness, in spite of the death, in spite of the despair, Jesus is here, not there. Because here is where you are in both a moment of time and space. This is where you are here. And Jesus is not just there, but by the mystery and the power of the Holy Spirit, just as the sacraments represent the body given, the blood shed, so Jesus is here, not there, here. The Holy Spirit is here. And when you receive those elements, where do they go? In here. Jesus is with you for the express purpose to give you hope and to fill you with joy and peace in believing. And all of that for us to do what? So that we may abound in the hope, what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, how does He do that? Have a conversation with Him. Might be a lengthy one. But if your hope is in Him, if your conversation is with Him, then you'll have joy. For Jesus is here. Shalom.